Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
If you had to start a rock band, who would you take from the team, and what's the band name?
Oh, my gosh. I'd take Garrett Stubbs.
Yep.
I'd take Kyle Schwarber.
That's
Here
me.
You go. Got it! I take Kyle Schwarber. I take Stubby. I take Pache. Oh, what's the name?
Yeah, give me a name.
Stay loose and sexy, baby.
There you go.
Your 2024 Philly, stay loose and sexy. Welcome back. Midday show, Hugh
awesome.
Douglas, Joe Giglio. We'll take all your phone calls here on the Sixers. Have we gone soft? I think we've gone softer as a city, specifically on the Sixers, but in general, I've just noticed it a lot. There's more understanding and all this kind of stuff.
You say it's more understanding.
Yeah, we are. We're understanding. We're justifying, whatever. All this.
We're coping mechanisms. Yeah.
I think we've gone soft here. And Hugh, one team we don't have to be soft on right now because they've earned all the praise, the Phillies. Have the best record in baseball. I think I said last week it wouldn't shock me if they're in first place the next week because the Braves had a tough stretch against Seattle and the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. The Phillies, that schedule was pretty light. The Giants when they got back. But if you had told me, Hugh, they'd be in first place by 2.5 games when we got back in the air Monday, I would have said, I don't know about that. They are. They win 3 in a row this weekend against the Giants. Hugh, this team just keeps winning. Best record in baseball.
Yeah, they're finding ways to win, Joe, and that's the most important thing. You know, we're going to talk about the fact that Trey Turner's a little bit banged up. That's going to be tough, no question about that. But the pitching has been great for this team, and that 14 spot they put on the other night, that bodes well for my prediction.
It does.
I just wanted to put that out there.
It does. How about this? So the Braves came in here and won the first two games of the season, right? Opening day, and then they won that Saturday game. And obviously at that point, the Braves were 2-0. The Phillies were 0-2. Since then, the Phillies are 24-9, and they've outscored their opponents by 54 runs. And the Braves are 18-12. Hugh, it's been 6 weeks now. The Phillies have been, you know, 4.5 games better for 6 weeks than the Braves. This is a pretty long stretch where they've just played better than the Braves.
Yeah, and they feel like they've hit their stride. And the one thing that I've noticed about this squad right now is the fact that it's not just one individual. It's a bunch of different guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Bohm looks like he's finally had his breakout season and everything. And the guys are just playing well right now.
All right, let's talk about the Turner thing because you mentioned it. I feel like this is their first real adversity this year. They lose Trey Turner. So he has the play on Friday night where he scores from second on the ball that got away from the catcher. The kind of play that very few players in baseball could do. His speed is just remarkable. And he was able to score there. But, Hugh, you kind of saw his face when he slid home. He must have known he pulled it there. And he walked back into the dugout. Obviously, after the game, the story starts coming out. He's got a tightness in his hamstring, all that. Well, we find out it's more than just tightness. He's got a hamstring strain. 6 weeks is now the kind of the hope that he's back in. It's a pretty decent chunk of time he's going to miss here, probably about 30 games. My first thought is I think they're going to survive it. They're going to be all right. They're a good team. He was playing well, though, right? He was hitting 340. He was getting on base. Like, there's a couple things here that are part of this now. So they're gonna miss Trey Turner. So they're gonna miss their number two hitter in the lineup. Mm-hmm. That's a part of this. But now, Hugh, who's gonna play shortstop? And I think they should move Bryson Stott over. Bryson Stott was a shortstop when he was drafted. He played there when they went to the World Series. They moved him to second to sign Turner. I would put Stott at shortstop for the next 6 weeks, and I would let Whit Merrifield play second, right? He's a second baseman by trade.
That's what they kind of brought him in here for, right?
I think so, to play in case there's an injury, right? He could play second, he could play third, he could play left field. That's what I would do. Now, they played Sosa at short the last 2 days. I like Sosa, Hugh. I just don't think he's a guy that could play every day. To me, he's more of like a once or twice a week guy.
Yeah, and having Whit out there, like they said when the season started, that he was going to probably be the guy that is going to be your utility man. And so that makes more sense to me. It's just that, like you said, missing his bat in that lineup when this lineup was starting to get hot, you know, it's gonna be one of those things, kind of like for the Braves when who's the pitcher that got hurt?
Strider
got hurt, and they kind of leaked oil a little bit. You just want to try to see, try to hold the fort until we get him back out there. But I'll tell you one thing about hamstring injuries, and they're funny, especially with a guy that's a speedster and relies heavily on his speed like that. You have to be real careful with those. You really do. 6 weeks is probably, you know, they're probably giving him a little bit more time. But even then, you still have to be careful because you feel like you're okay, and then something happened. You don't want to tweak it again.
So, and with Trey, it's not just his stolen bases. I think this season he has 8 infield hits. So his legs have been a huge reason why he's hit 340. I mean, yeah. If you take away those infield hits, he's probably hitting – I don't know, I've done the math, maybe 300. Like, he'd still be good, but like his speed has made his game this year as good as it's been. And I'm with you. They're going to have to be cautious with this. And I think now is the time to try Stott at shortstop. I'd rather Whit in the lineup every day rather than Mundo Sosa. And Kyle, I'll just take it a big picture thing. I think it'd be interesting to see how Stott plays at shortstop to see if he's better than Turner, not just for now. I don't think they make a switch in the middle of the year, but like long term. Is Turner going to play short 3 years from now? Probably not. Is Stott going to – could they switch them eventually?
Yeah.
I think it's only a good thing to try the experiment now.
I agree. I think for the duration, the long duration of Trey Turner's contract, he's going to be the second baseman. Bryson Stott's going to be the shortstop of the future. So, I mean, while it's difficult, like, it would have been tough at any point this year to, like, change two guys' positions in midseason at the same time, you know, Turner to second, Stott to shortstop. But now – it's kind of a ready-made opportunity to do that. And I'm like you. I trust Merrifield's bat in this lineup a lot more than I trust Sosa as an everyday player. I think he's much better as a bench piece that can come in every now and then. Whit Merrifield's a guy that used to be a starter mm-hmm. all the time. I mean, he's just a more veteran presence at the plate, veteran bat. So I think that's your best course of action there. You need Merrifield at two. And Stott to be the second baseman.
Yeah, I think that's what they should do. And I think it's just started today against the Giants. I put Stott at short. I put Merrifield at second. Now, Hugh, the other part of this is who bats second, right? Because you're taking away a guy that's hit a lot at the two spot. And it seems like they want a right-handed hitter. They want to put a righty in between Schwarber 1 and Harper 3.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes away the idea of like a Marsh doing it, right? That's not really an option. I think they're only – I'll throw two options at you, Hugh. Real Muto, and that's what they've done the last couple days.
He's been rolling. He's still pretty fast for an older cat.
And the other option would be Alec Bohm. The only thing about Bohm is he's been so hot at the four spot, you don't want to move him. Yeah.
Well, I think you just kind of said it, Joey. It has to be JT. JT has to be the guy that you had to move up in there.
So no votes for Castellanos to move him up in the order?
Still struggling a little bit.
A little bit.
Constellanos.
Plus, that's kind of like looking at – that's kind of how they're doing it right now. So, I wouldn't do that.
So I would do – I like
even though Castellino's defense was pretty decent last night.
We ended the game with the catch. I like the idea of Real Muto. The only problem, Kyle, with the Real Muto thing is he kind of plays every day, but he doesn't, right? There are some days where he's going to sit because he's a catcher, which means now we're down to option like 5.
Yeah. He's going to – I mean, he has to. I'm not complaining about it, but he's going to take too many days off for him to really settle in. And the two – Trey's a guy that – plays pretty much every single day when he's not injured. So he's the perfect guy to have in the two hole. I want nothing to do with Castellanos going in the two hole. I'm closer to benching him for an entire week than I am putting him in the two hole on any given night. So yeah, I don't really know exactly what you do with the two hole.
I would go Real Muto, and I would even try with Merrifield. I know Merrifield's not great anymore, but he's kind of hit for 2 weeks now in a part-time role. I wouldn't mind seeing Merrifield there on days that Real Muto is sitting down. I think they're going to be able to get by, but Hugh, the real question is, are you going to get by without Trey? Is your prediction of 6 runs per game going to survive without 6 weeks of Trey Turner?
You know, last night I was close.
They got 14 the other night without him.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. It kind of evened out for me. It kind of evened out for me. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
And you know, it's funny, even now.
It's a blow to the.
That's a little bit. Yeah. It's a little bit. But it's even now, I got other people like, how's those runs doing? And I want to say, you know, it's like on average. You know, because I guess people like to beat their chest when they only score like four or five runs.
But you got a 14 the other night.
Yeah, so it's like it's like an average, just so you know. And this plays out throughout the whole season.
If people are questioning, just tell them to go to the Hugh Needs Runs Twitter account. It's my favorite account out
there.
Man,
listen, whoever writes that account, shout out to you, because you're a hell of a writer. I mean, you just make it, the way you wax poetic with words is pretty awesome.
I just love that people are following this, Ken. It's not just a few of us. There's more people following this thing. It's Hugh Needs Runs for our bet. 215-592-9494. All right, back to the phones here on the Phillies. Would you move Stott to shortstop? I should say back to shortstop. We know he played it when he was drafted and obviously when he first came up with the Phillies in the World Series year. And the Sixers, and in general, have we gotten soft? I think we have. I mean, the reaction to the Sixers, and Ike really hit it home on Friday, there was very little there was frustration. There wasn't like that passion and I can't believe this. They keep letting us down that we've had in other years. I'm not sure if it's now apathy with the Sixers, if it's acceptance, if it's this idea of we're buying in on the future.
We're coping.
Coping. I think that's the real word.
That's the word it is. Yeah. We're coping.
A lot of coping mechanisms around here. We coped last year with a standing ovation. We coped keeping a head coach that collapsed with the Eagles. Now we're coping with the Sixers out in the first round. Tom in Middletown. Hey, Tom.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good, Tom. What's up?
Listen, I think we are very soft. I got a couple points in it. We're very soft, but I think we're not soft on we're not hard enough on the right pieces. We should be hard on the organization, Daryl Morey, all that. We know going into every season, Embiid cannot play a full season. We do not have a big man backup or the points that could be substituted when he has to sit. We need to build our bench that we're going to have the salary cap this year because we're going to get rid of some big salaries. We need to build our bench. I don't want to get rid of Embiid. I don't want to get rid of Maxey. I keep those two together, but you need to build around them with the money that we're going to have, and we've never done that. We haven't prepared for that. You know going into the season, Embiid cannot play a whole season.
If you don't know it by now, Tom, you're not paying attention. They know it. We know it. He probably knows it. Yes, I mean it's the reality of his career.
And we as fans, yes, we are softer. If you go back to the days and think about it, how hard we were on Mike Schmidt and Donovan McNabb, and they just won. They won playoff games after playoff game after playoff game, and we were hard on those guys. But yet we'll let this current regime go through without even getting past the first round this year. Without being able to say criticism, we're getting soft in this fall.
Tom, I think it's fair to bring up the Schmidt thing, Donovan thing. I mean, Donovan played an NFC title game with bad ribs, and he got roasted for how he played. Joel Embiid plays the way he does, and it's while he's a warrior. Yeah, he's trying hard.
That's a different era.
It's
a different era.
Do you think people have changed?
Yes. They definitely have changed. I mean, and I'm not trying to say.
Feels almost unfair to the guys in the past.
Well, yeah, because they got ridiculed a lot.
They did.
More. I mean, but it is like that. The fact that there was even a thought process of giving a guy a standing O, I mean, that should let you know right now. And it happened.
You said it in the moment.
Yeah.
Kyle said it in the moment. So we blame Jack. I'm good with that. We blame Jack for all this. Tom, what are you thinking on the Phils? You moved Stott's shortstop?
I'll tell you what. If I got to sit him down and say, listen, can you handle this? Because I don't want to have the pressure of playing a different position take away from his bat and all that. If he's cool with that, yes, definitely move Stott to shortstop. Move Merrifield to everyday second baseman and use Sosa as a utility player. That's where Sosa's going to be the best help.
Yes,
as a utility
right.
Player.
I think that's it. The Sosa thing, like I like him. At times we appreciate it, but I think he gets exposed when he plays every day. Hugh, what do you think about that? Because we have these conversations a lot. Like, will it affect Bryson Stott to change positions? My reason I'm not too worried about it is he was a shortstop. Like, you're not asking him to do something he's never
done. It's not like asking, like, Bryce Harper to go play first and he's never done it, even though Bryce did a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did a good job at it. It's one of those things where, you know, it's number one, it's out of necessity because, you know, we got to play a hurt. And it's just for you, I would think, just being comfortable being out there, you know, and just remembering the mechanics. Like people say, it's like riding a bike. It's old hat for you. So, yeah, it's not. I don't think it's outside of the realm of something. It's not nothing that you can't do.
I agree. Stott's a good athlete. He was a shortstop. I think he was a decent one a couple years ago when he did it. And I want him to play at a high level. Now, like, replacing Trey Turner the way he's played this year is going to be challenging. Trey was having a really nice year, but I think their best shot of doing it. Like, if you tell me right now, who's going to hit close to Trey? Who has the best chance to hit close to what Trey was doing over the next 6 weeks? It's Merrifield, by far, compared to Edmundo Sosa. Let's go to, we got Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Gentlemen, how y'all doing this afternoon?
Hey, Will. Doing, what's up, buddy?
All right. Listen, that's one of the points I wanted to make. You see how what the Phillies did? They kept their team together, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why they number one right now. See, the coach knows the team knows the team, and, you know, just like one of the players going out, he already knows who's going to fill that spot. But you got to have a team to play together. That's how dynasties are made. You know what I'm saying? You can't, even with the Sixers. When you look at the last 3 years, how many times we made a trade right when the playoffs are about to begin? Like three seasons in a row. Nobody's not talking about that. You know what I'm saying? When we had Drummond and Steph Curry, we had a good chance to win the championship. But what happened? We trade and get these bums. You think I'm saying that they thought was going to fill the what we needed? And then guess what? Right back to the same old song again.
Well, now, and Will, now we look forward to this offseason. They're probably going to go star hunting, right? They're going to bring in someone new.
It's that's all you got left.
It's going to take a half a season to get everyone on the same page.
You're right. You're right, but the whole thing is, like, the Sixers, you know, they got to rebuild. I don't want no old star here. Like you said, Hugh, let's bring some young Thundercats in here and let them run and burn.
How are we going to get them young Thundercats, though? We got to get some that can play.
Right. But the last thing with the Phils. The Phils is going to go back to the World Series. I'm predicting this right now. And the reason why I say that, because they playing as a team and they know each other. And that's what the Eagles and the Sixers and the rest of these Philly teams need to start doing. Build a team and let them gel out together, just like OG said, man. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're missing in Philadelphia. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, when they made all those mistakes years ago, and Will, we appreciate it. Hugh, I think in a perfect world, they would have done this, right? If Markelle Fultz worked, if Ben Simmons worked, we could have had them and Joel together for all these years. They failed a lot of the way, and then they've been trying to get their way out of this. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's basically what we're dealing with right now. Because you're talking about all these draft picks that have not worked out for you. And that's the first thing that comes to mind when I think about this Sixers team and where we are as far as how we're going to get better. We're in purgatory, no question about it. We're going to go out in this offseason, and we're going to get an older player, and we're going to try to be as excited about it as we possibly can, knowing that the outcome is probably going to be what it has always been. Because you're asking – basically, we're trying to put together a dream team with two guys that have already been here and then add that third piece and then make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and then make it to the championship game. That's what we're going to do, and it's either going to be Paul George – it's going to be Paul George, Jimmy Butler, or LeBron James.
Is anyone excited for Paul George? I'm not saying he's a good player, right? And he certainly would make them better than Tobias Harris. Is anyone excited? Like, just when I say the word excited for Paul George. Are you excited for Paul George, Hugh? Excited?
I am.
Like, Saquon Barkley's exciting, okay? He's an exciting player.
If you were asking me, if I was sitting in the board meeting and you asked me, Who do I want to go out and get in free agency that I think is going to give us a chance to win? I would probably go Jimmy Butler.
Well, he'd be exciting for a lot of reasons. One, as a player, but two, he connects with people. Here,
yes.
Right.
Okay.
There's like if it's the scale of excitement, obviously Jimmy reconnects people that loved him when he was here. LeBron is one of the two best players in the history of basketball. Okay. There's just something exciting about watching that in a
and the toughness that Jimmy brings to the table now.
Paul George is not exciting.
In a perfect world, I would ask, could you, like, I would be at the meeting. I'd be like, can I have the Jimmy Butler that was here 5 years ago?
Me too.
I mean, seriously, all jokes aside, because I want that. Jimmy Butler is a tough cookie, no question about it. And I think he brings something to the table Not saying that Paul George isn't tough, but I've actually witnessed Jimmy Butler's toughness. I want that 5 years ago.
Well, that's the issue with all these guys. Yeah, can I have like, them all 5 years
like,
ago?
Seriously, yeah. Like that's where we are, because when you look at the way that you build a team, I think that most people look at Minnesota and say that's what they would want, you know, with Ant-Man and the big fella out there. That's not where we are. Like, to be honest, Joe, that's not where we are. So we have to do the best that we can, and right now that's the best thing that we have.
Yeah, it is. 215-592-9494. The Daryl Morey press conference will be at 1 o'clock today right here on WIP. Big V's in Jersey. What's up, Big V?
Hey, what's happening, fellas?
How we doing?
What's up, man?
Hey, Hugh, I got to tell you. First of all, I agree with Joe like maybe 5% of the time, because, you know, when I listen to Joe, it's like listening to my mother-in-law. But he's on point today with the Sixers situation.
Sometimes mother-in-law's right. Once in a while. They're right once in a while.
Once in a while, you know, like a broken watch. It's only right twice a day. But I mean, the Sixers' failure is from the top down. You knew Embiid played 60% of the time from the day he put on a Sixers jersey. They never got anybody in there to back him up or get people substantial people to support him. Second thing is this. All right, talking about trading Embiid, it ain't going to happen. One, he's overpriced. Two, he's at that age where nobody really wants him. And three, he's never healthy. So let's do this. Let's you know, get some people to support, you know, get some people who can play and the Sixers can win when Embiid is out. And let's move on to the championship. Third thing, screw the process. We're past the process. We want production. This is Philadelphia. We love winners. We don't want excuses. They've been going through this for a long time now, and the only thing the process has got is to accept mediocrity. We don't want mediocrity. We want champions.
Well said, Big V. And you're right. We're too far into this thing now. Big V, good phone call. We're too far into that's a great word for it. We've gotten to an acceptance point with the Sixers.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Joe, and I think, like, everybody talk about what they want. How you going to fix it? Like, that's the problem. See, again, and I said this a couple times, and nobody has offered the solution. We are in cap purgatory. We are in basketball purgatory. We don't have any draft picks where we can go out and get anybody. And you talk about trading for a young guy. You're going to have to give up the world to get one, and nobody's trading away stars in the NBA.
Not unless they ask out or they're
yes,
older. Yes, yeah.
Yes. Nobody's trading away stars.
Yeah, the ones you want are not getting...
the ones you're going to get. No. That's the bottom line. So we are in a position where, you know, it's a money-making thing, and they're going to try to make money, and they're trying to move the meter. And the only three guys that you look at that are viable, that give you a shot, are guys that are on the other side on the other side of 30.
They all come with a red flag.
Yeah, Twilight. They're the Twilights.
They come with a red flag. They do. I guess for me, part of the frustration is when I hear things like, well, they competed. Well, they didn't quit. But to me, we've lowered the bar now for the Sixers. Forget expectations. If we're okay with them not quitting, it's a red flag about them. Like, that's it? Well, they didn't quit, so I'm not upset. Well, all right. I mean, like, that's where we've gotten from a team that we thought could win a championship, you know, a handful of years ago to now, well, they didn't roll over and die in game six at home. So, what are you going to do? No, this whole thing is frustrating. It's been frustrating for years. They are on a hamster wheel, for sure. 215-592-9494. Daryl Morey comes up at 1. Keep it locked in here all day. On the other side, pretty big event last night. Where did we get we got an interesting comment about Philadelphia from Bill Belichick, the roast of Tom Brady. If it means anything, we'll let you be the judge. We'll hit that next. Your phone calls, 215-592-9494. Bryce is Stott. I'd move him to shortstop during Trey Turner's absence. And I think we've gotten soft, particularly on the Sixers here. We'll discuss it all midday show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, this is the absolute worst time of the year to be dealing with joint pain. You can't do the outdoor stuff that you love to do. If you're tired of achy joints, call QC Kinetics before you agree to surgery or steroids and harmful medications. That's what tens of thousands of real-life patients around the country did. Like Robert, my man Robert, a retired Marine and business owner who had debilitating shoulder pain but couldn't take time away from work to have surgery. He heard about QC Kinetics and how elite athletes were using these treatments for joint pain. Now he's pain-free and didn't have to miss work. QC Kinetics is at the top of the game with National Medical Director Dr. Mitchell Shinecup. Dr. Shinecup is a pioneer in this field with over 20 years of clinical work, tons of research, teaching, publishing, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I'd love to be talking about your story next, where you were able to get lasting relief with no downtime. So don't wait. Call QC Kinetics now. The consultation is free. Call today at 215-999-3000. That's 215-999-3000. One more time.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's up? Thank you. What's up, Kev? You think you can get me a chair like that in Philly? Yeah.
Bill Belichick.
What are you trying to say?
Roast of Tom Brady last night. I don't know. He was talking to Kevin Hart there, looking for the cheer in Philadelphia. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Coming up at 1, the Daryl Morey press conference. A lot of Phillies talk with Bryce's top potential moving to short. Phillies are on fire right now. And, of course, the Sixers. Have we gotten too soft here as a city, particularly on the Sixers? But Hugh last night. So I wasn't watching the roast of Tom Brady, but I started seeing everyone was talking about it, and I saw some clips. I was like, all right, I'll turn it on. So I watched it for, I don't know, a better part of half hour.
Mm-hmm.
They went in on Tom Brady more than I anticipated. Like, I guess if you accept a roast,
you gotta be – everything is on the tape.
But, I mean, everything. I mean, they were going after his wife, the divorce, the jiu-jitsu guy that you always joke about. I mean,
jiu-jitsu,
it was –
yeah, he could – Yeah.
So it was all on the table. Belichick, Gronk. I actually thought it was pretty funny. So two things caught me about it. One, I think Tom Brady was too good of a player to be roasted to. You know why? There's nothing about his career you can make fun of. It all has to be personal. Like, what are you going to knock his career for?
Yeah. He won a multitude of Super Bowls, and yeah. You just talk about his wife smashing the trainer.
I mean, that was every joke was basically about that.
And Deflategate.
Yeah, that was some of it.
Yeah, a little bit of that, and just, you know, his kids and some of the weirdness that he has displayed in the past with them. But that's not even weird.
Yeah, I didn't. Maybe I missed. I didn't see anything about his kids. Maybe that felt off limits. The ex-wife though was.
Oh, I saw totally. some. Yeah, it went. It was one comedian, young lady. She went real blue. She went bluer than blue.
As blue as you can go.
Yeah, she went blue.
The only one he seemed to get annoyed about was the one about Robert Kraft that he seemed to go too far.
Massage parlor.
Yeah, he went up to the comedian and told him no more of those.
Was that theatrics, though?
Like the Will Smith?
Yeah, exactly.
Like his version of Will Smith?
I mean, you got to, like you said, it ain't too much that's happened in your life where people can really, so you got to let that
work. I mean, Robert Kraft was laughing about it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's what, that one is already like out there now and everyone's kind of like, I don't know. I feel like they had taken steps that were too far besides the Robert Kraft.
I agree. Yeah, and if Robert Kraft shows up to a roast, you got to know that's coming.
Yeah, they talking about you, dog.
So like, here's the question now. All right, so we had the Tom Brady roast last night. Who's the most roastable person at WIP? Like, if there had to be a WIP roast of one of our current personalities, you, who do you think would make for the best roast?
When you say roast and like, have fun with it? Or just, like, talk, like, because...
It would generate the best jokes on
Joe DeCamera.
Is that
Joe
it?
DeCamera. Yeah, because Joe's...
The roast of Joe DeCamera would be good.
Joe's unique. Like, he has some unique things that he likes to do. He has a unique way of, doing things. And, he's a little quirky. So I think he would be the one.
The roast of Joe DeCamera would definitely hit. I'm trying to think, like, if not DeCamera, who is it? I mean, we roast John Johnson sometimes, with the different things that we play on the show.
Right?
Yeah, like those. I do agree. If I had to vote and pick someone here to roast, DeCamera would be a good one to roast, for sure. I think Richie would be a pretty good roast.
Yeah. Howard feels like a layup.
Yes.
I don't know how well Howard would handle it.
Well, I mean, if he agreed to the roast, what is he going to do?
He can get angry.
Dr. Dope. I heard him Saturday. He was calling himself King PhD or something.
Yeah. Is that what he was doing?
Yeah.
I heard his speech, by the way. The first thing he mentioned was that he's a Swiftie.
Yes. It was a good speech.
It was. Of course it was. Yeah.
Good job. Who do you think is most roastable? DeCamera? Who's your vote?
Probably DeCamera. Yeah. DeCamera or Howard, I think, are probably the two layups.
I think we could sell tickets to the roast of Joe DeCamera or Howard. I mean, the roast of Howard Eskin would do numbers. I mean, people would watch that just to be part of the roasting of Howard Eskin.
A low-key one could be Jolly.
Jolly be good.
Now, garbage!
Could he handle it? Because, again, half of the
roast...
Yeah, because
you got to be able to handle what's being said about you.
Have facts, folks. Yeah. Facts, facts, facts.
I have some questions on if he could handle the roast. You got to be able to sit there and nod and smile as people say some pretty rough things about you.
Yeah, and some of that stuff is going to hit home. Like some of the like personal stuff, it probably hit home.
Of course it's personal. I think Howard probably would handle the roast the best. He's had the most years of being ripped for his taste.
I do I think Howard has a better sense of humor than some people would be led to believe. He would handle.
So who do we think anyone wouldn't handle a roast well? I don't think Jack would handle the roast well.
Oh, no. He would crumble.
Don't think
no
it'd be
way.
Great.
No,
Jack's super sensitive.
You don't think he's roastable. We roast him, but he's not like roastable in a serious setting.
I can't think of too many other people that wouldn't handle it well. I feel like Seltzer would handle it pretty well.
Yeah.
I feel like even DeCamera would handle it.
I think
well.
He would too. Yeah, I think he would take it in stride.
I think Jack's really the only one that would be overly
sensitive.
What about
John Ritchie?
I think he would handle it, but I'm not sure he would show the proper emotion. You got to have to smile and nod through it.
This is really... You don't think he would emotionally...
Crying through it is not that's not a good roast. I mean, that just throws the whole situation off. You can't cry through the roast. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines here. Tyrone in Middletown. Hey, Tyrone.
Tyrone.
Hey, good morning. Big you.
What's going on, man?
What's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Can't complain.
I was gonna call you Big Pimpin' again, but that was just for laughs. But I know that's how I always named. But yeah, but check it out, man. Growing up playing basketball in CYO, one of the reasons why I formed my attitude, and I think this is the attitude that I think you have to be a winner in sports. You go out, you play with blood and guts, like a soldier. Then when you win, you be noble to your opponents and humble, but when you lose, you don't go out with sour ribs.
You know what, Tyrone? I want to let Tyrone have his blood and guts speech, but
he got that.
It was a little messed up, the line. We'll get him back. Terrence is Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
You, Joe Kyle. What's up, man?
What's going on, Terrence?
I got a little rant of my own.
Okay.
I don't accept losing in the first round, losing in the second round, but we have to keep it 100. We have to keep it fair. They brought in Nick Nurse to be this savior of a coach. He's supposed to be going to the Hall of Fame to be able to make the X's and O's adjustments. I felt like with the team we had, we could beat New York. And I feel like in some ways, Tibbs outcoached Nick Nurse, the veteran. I know Tibbs is a veteran too, but Nurse has the championship on his resume.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going at Joel Embiid. This guy scored 39, scored 40, whatever. We cannot say this series he didn't show up, because we know in past playoff series he didn't show up. This one he did, but this one he didn't have help. We got Tobias scoring 19 points for one game. It was just, if we keep it at 100, we keep it at a beam. It was just Maxine Embiid out there, man. If we keep it at truly 100. And sometimes Oubre, sometimes Batum. But it was just two guys against the whole Knicks team. And with the Knicks team, they didn't have nobody but Brunson. But you know what they had? They played as a damn unit. They played as a unit, and they played cohesiveness. And that's what we didn't have, no cohesiveness. So I understand Ike's rant, but I heard another caller saying this earlier. We have to keep the same energy for these other teams, man. I heard year after year, Ripper Joel Embiid. But I haven't seen no damn team in Philadelphia sports history in the last couple of years that won a championship. I've seen them all go, and I've seen them all collapse. I didn't know why he finished the job. We saw the Phillies go year back-to-back. Bryce Harper, they choked. We got to keep it 100. And when they got to the World Series, they bats choked. When we got to this mediocre Arizona Diamondbacks team, they choked. And I was furious about that. And I heard the radio the next day, no one saying nothing. Everybody's like, kumbaya for the Phillies. Because it's no love affair.
Well, no, I thought that, Terrence, I agree with you on that. The Phillies choked last October. They choked. I agree.
Yeah, same thing with the Eagles. We have this epic collapse. And just because Howie has a good draft, everything's forgotten. No, we have to do it on the field. We have to do it with our coaching. We have to finish the job. I haven't seen nobody finish the job. And I want to see the same energy. So if the Phillies go this year, I don't give a damn how they started 22-11, whatever they are. They got to finish the job.
They do. You know, no, Terrence, I agree. I agree with that. I think we've gotten softer just generally and Terrence, we appreciate it. Not just Sixers. The Sixers are just the most recent team to go out of the playoffs, so that's the one we're upset about. I think we have. I got to push back a little bit, though, on the no help for Joel thing, though. I do agree Joel showed up in this series. I do not believe he was terrible or anything like that. He's better in this series than he was in other series.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to push back on this idea Joel got no help. Joel's second star, right? His co-star averaged 29.8, 6.8, 5.2, 29, 6, 5 in the series. Tyrese Maxey had a 46-point elimination game. It road elimination game in game 5. In game 6, the Sixers bench was the reason that game came back to reality when they were down all those points.
Yeah, and Buddy Hield came up big when you needed him in that last game.
I don't agree that he didn't get any help in this series. I mean,
you know what it is, Joe? It's one of those things where the outcome, regardless of where the help came from or whatever the situation was, the outcome is the same as it always been.
Always. Always.
And that's the unfortunate thing about it. That's the thing that a lot of people, regardless to what you got, it wasn't enough to get you over the hump, and that's the frustrating thing. That's what, you know, and I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but when Ike was ranting, that's kind of what I heard. It's like, dog, you were the better team. You were favored going into this, and no matter what, the outcome was still the same. Frustrating. The fact that Buddy Hield comes off the bench, Joe, we were making jokes, and I apologize to the dude that called last week and talked about Buddy Hield playing, and I'm like, dog, what are you talking about? He didn't show up the whole playoff series. He came in and he contributed.
Sure did.
And
in the last
the
game,
outcome,
yeah.
So this is what we do. Like, he comes in off the bench and he contributes. Now, we mad at Crumble Cookie. Because Crumble Cookie didn't contribute.
I mean, literally, he didn't.
He was out there. He
put
was
up
like,
a zero.
What did Perk say? He said they asked me to go to Chick-fil-A. He came back with straws and napkins. That was hilarious. So asked everybody what they want from Chick-fil-A. He comes back with straws and napkins. Brought nothing to the table. And that's the unfortunate thing. There's times where, you know, you could point throughout this whole process where you could say, well, you know, this person didn't show up, but Joel did this. Joel's been consistent throughout all of this. We're giving you the points that he's giving you. But it's always somebody else. And when you look at most stars that are in this situation, they find a way to win, man. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
That's it.
That when we talk about Joel Embiid, we look at Kobe. and we look at you look at Michael Jordan, you look at LeBron James, and you talk, there are moments in their careers where you can feel the way that you want to feel about them, but they had those moments in the playoffs where their history was made.
Yeah, I think it's totally fair when we bring up the supporting cast and all that kind of stuff, but there's also the history of the NBA. The best players go far in the playoffs. It's like not rocket science. It is. Joel Embiid's the only MVP in the history of the league to never have played past the second round. There's a direct correlation between the best players and going far. Now, sometimes you go up against another great player and they have a better supporting cast and then you lose. That's understandable. But it is striking that Joel's played this long and never been past the second round. It's almost impossible for him to be as good as he is, and we all recognize he's a great player. It just doesn't happen. You can't find MVPs that don't go deep in the playoffs.
And I think especially in the NBA, when you look at great players, I even right now, I could think of moments where in Kobe's career, LeBron's career, Michael Jordan's career, Steph Curry's career, where there have been doubters and naysayers about what they were able to accomplish. With Kobe, it was you can't win a championship without Shaq. And he found a way to do that. He, like, I think the model is Kobe because of what he made. Like, you have teammates telling stories of Kobe about how, you know, if you weren't contributing, Kobe didn't fool with you. Like, that's who he was because he wanted to win so bad. And when he used to hear that, you can't win without a Shaq, that burned his biscuits. And he went out and he won one without Shaq.
Two.
Won a couple without Shaq. Another story. I remember when this thing started to transition and people were telling Steph Curry. I remember Charles Barkley saying it on television. You can never win shooting playing the way that they play. Never.
And it became a dynasty.
They became a dynasty. Then now everybody wants to play that way. I mean, there are moments that stars have where it makes people feel like they transcend. And Joel Embiid, I think that the thing that hinders him is his transparency to a certain extent because he just doesn't get it. You know, he doesn't say stuff or he hasn't had that moment yet that those other players have had. It's always somebody else. He's always talking about what somebody else has to do. And when you think about all those other players, they've had moments where they probably didn't directly say that, but indirectly you knew how they felt about what anybody else has felt about them, and they went out and they transcended all of that.
If there's a hope for Joel, because I think the chance of him becoming like any of those other guys you mentioned is very, very slim. Dirk Nowitzki might be the comp and the hope because it took Dirk a long time and then he got there and they won it. You know, maybe that's it.
So like, I don't think it's rocket science, but I do think it's a little more complicated than you're making it out to be. Like we can say Kobe and Shaq, they did have great role players on that team too. Like all of these teams that win titles, it's not solely because they have 1-2 and then the rest of the guys are on vet minimum. Like they're like besides LeBron in 18, nobody's carrying an entire roster of crappy players.
But we can't ask for more than what happened in Game 6.
We can ask for a better roster.
Right, but just two stars and the role players scored 1,000,000 points in Game 6.
I'm aware of that, but there's a whole series here to be played.
I know, but again, the co-star had 46.
But Joe,
46
like, to say
in
that
game
the
five.
Role players stepped up in Game 6 is not painting the whole picture of the series. They sucked the entire series. Buddy Hield was a DNP for most of the series. Tobias Harris took two shots in that last game and was putting up zeros.
I get it.
He was Tony Snell out there.
I understand. But like if the rest of the series, it wasn't like the Knicks players scored 1,000,000 points. Like
no,
they
but, no, but their roster, their team was better.
But
it just was.
When you have the two of the three best players, you should win the series.
I don't necessarily agree that that's always 100% how it is.
Not 100%. I just think you should. Tyrone in Middletown. What's up, Tyrone?
Hey, good morning.
You back? Go ahead. Go ahead. You're good.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we got you, buddy.
You know, good morning. You and Kyle. Good morning to everybody in jail.
Good morning.
But getting to the Sixers, man. I've been listening to the show, and everybody's made a lot of great points. But here's the thing with me. I think that the Sixers, one thing that they don't have is a solid nucleus. And I think that with Joel Embiid, I think when he was out for those 30, 35 games or whatever it was, I think they only won about a third of them. And I think that when you look at it from the factor that he was severely injured with the Bell's palsy and coming off the knee surgery, he's laboring physically. with his stamina. I think it only amplified the fact that in the NBA today, you cannot win with two men carrying your entire team. You need a supporting cast, and when you have two of your starters coming up, you know, with goose eggs, so to speak, I think that even amplifies the fact that next year I would like for them, first of all, the ownership, I think that they're not passionate about the Sixers because unlike most of the fans here and myself, I've been a, you know, hey, I'm blessed, man. I saw Will Chamberlain play one time, and I think I was in about the third grade. But, you know, the one thing I can say about him, he was an Iron Man. He was like a god. What we have here is a guy that does one thing well, that score. And we need role players. You look at Minnesota that you brought up. You got a 7'1" guy playing center in a 7-foot stretch four. You got a 6'5", 210-pound combo guard that playing the point or the that can jump out the building.
Yeah, Tyrone, he's a special player. Anthony Edwards has arrived here at a very young age. Tyrone, man, we appreciate it. Yeah, they're a good team. And Minnesota has a chance here to beat Denver. We'll see. They're up 1-0. All right, before we go any further, and we'll get back to everyone's phone calls here, we wanted to play this because it was really cool. The Eagles put this out sometime late last week. It was kind of their unscripted series on YouTube, and this one was their draft room. I've never seen this much draft room content. Like, they'll put out a video here or there, the calls that when they draft a player and they get to – you know, basically say, hey, you're an Eagle now. But this was the entire draft process. It was really cool to see it, including this. So this, they took us inside the lead up and then the eventual trade to go get Cooper DeJean. You could tell how much they wanted him early in the second. And here it is as they're waiting to see if he'll be there for a trade or if someone's going to grab him as the second round is moving along.
So Washington is the first one where we have a chance at.
Okay. They have two picks, right?
Yeah, that's why.
How about Carolina?
Carolina is interested as we get closer. I don't want to do it now.
Oh, no, I understand.
Problem is, Chargers kind of said no. Tennessee doesn't really have a great match for us because they don't have a third. For Carolina, 39 and 65 for 50 and 53. And I think we would have to add in 210. What I like about that is we don't fall 2-4 back from our second. It may not get us our first guy. They wanted to get in yesterday, too. Just someone keep an eye on my phone.
With that 35th pick, the Atlanta Falcons select Rook Aurora.
So that's the pick with the Falcons, right? So the next part of this is when the Eagles try to move up, and Carolina is a possibility, Washington after that. And there's a moment here where you could hear they're afraid he's going to get picked because the Rams move up, and you can hear it. Both Howie and Jeff think they're moving up for Cooper DeJean, and you could hear their reaction when they go up for the Florida State defensive tackle, not Cooper DeJean. Here it was, Eagles draft room, when they think they're about to lose Cooper DeJean, and they realize, no, we're going to get him.
Let me make sure my guy's there. I don't know if I'm going to be able to. All right, let's go to 40. He said, throw me back the 6, then we're good. But.
So Rams are on the clock.
That's it.
That is it. Unfortunately.
The Carolina Panthers have traded the 39th pick to the Los Angeles Rams. Oh, with the 39th pick and the 2024 NFL draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Brandon Fisk.
Yes!
Florida State D-tackle.
All right, 50, 53, 161 for 40, 78, and
150. All right,
calm down. Appreciate it.
Howie's in his zone there, Hugh. He's thinking trades. He's watching the board. He's taking the phone calls. And then as soon as the Rams take the Florida State defensive tackle, he's like, calling the trade. We're going to get Cooper.
Yeah, and it was kind of fun to see. I'm just, you know what? The biggest thing for me is I was just kind of curious what all those damn numbers mean.
Those are the draft picks.
Okay, the ones that they traded
right,
away.
Right, they'll trade away 50 and 53
to move up
40
to get Coop. Gotcha.
And whatever.
Gotcha,
yep.
gotcha.
And then I guess
appreciate you explaining it to me.
He was thinking about the potential deal with Carolina, and he was saying, well, we got to throw 210 and like.
Okay, so that's what he was doing.
It was the cost of the trade he was kind of throwing out to the whole room if we do this.
Gotcha. So, yeah, that's pretty exciting to see, man. And you know what's funny? That's what gets people excited about this upcoming Eagles season. The fact that, you know, you get the – you get – behind the velvet rope, or they pull the curtain back and let you see the process of what goes into to getting these players, man. And I tell you what, they're excited. Like, they had their rookie camp this weekend. Mm-hmm. Very, very excited about what potentially these young guys can bring to the table.
The other thing that strikes me is, you know, whenever they make a pick, they say he was the top guy on our board, he was the guy we wanted. They obviously lie, because if they didn't land Cooper there, right, if the Rams traded up for Cooper DeJean, they would have taken somebody else, and they would have told us how much they liked that player. It's so, and they would have never put this video out, clearly. But they wanted Cooper DeJean. I mean, Lurie's, like, despondent when they think the Rams are about to take him. They're like, oh, we lost him. Yeah, it's gone. I mean, they wanted him. So it's pretty exciting that they got the guy they wanted, and they let us see that there. 215-592-9494. That's how you help her. We'll come back. Your phone calls on the Sixers. Have we gotten soft? Not only the Sixers, but in general, just as a fan base. I think we have. A lot of stuff we let slide these days that we wouldn't have in the past. And, of course, the Phillies playing really well right now. But without Trey Turner for 6 weeks, should they move Bryce Stott to short in his absence? I think they should put Whit Merrifield at second base. 215-592-9494. We'll get your phone calls coming up next, and we'll throw a new name in the mix for the Sixers that is out there in the rumor mill. A lot to discuss on the Midday Show. Daryl Morey at 1 on Sports Radio 94 WIPR. Unless you live under a rock, you know by now that I've partnered with Kyle Schwarber and Yards Brewing Company's Philly Standard Beer, the tailgate beer. So here's the deal. When Kyle goes yard, beers are on Kyle. And I mean literally. If Kyle Schwarber hits a home run today, tomorrow you get a free Philly Standard beer. Just download the Yards Brewing Company app, and you can find participating bars near you. You can get your free Philly Standard, the hometown beer for hometown fans. Drinking a beer from another city is like wearing our rival's jersey. It's a violation. Pick up a 15-pack of Philly Standard this weekend from your local distributor. Yards Brewing Company, celebrating 30 years. Made by Philadelphia.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.